This video was made possible by Dashlane. Manage your online security for free at dashlane.com/RLL. The global amusement park industry is big business, and in the United States alone, amusement park revenues will likely top out over $22 billion for the year 2019. Every year around the world, more than 270 million people will visit an amusement park, but visiting an amusement park always carries a tiny amount of risk. Last year, out of those 270 million people who visited a park, about 7,000 of them experienced some kind of injury that required an emergency room visit, or a really tiny 0.00259% of everybody who went. The safety standard of modern amusement parks is very high. Between 1990 and 2004, only 3 to 4 people died on average per year across every park in America combined. However, one amusement park in particular stands out from every other park in American history, and its name was Action Park. Located here in Vernon, New Jersey, the park experienced an insanely high 6 separate fatalities experienced by people riding their rides over its existence. Besides those 6 deaths, though, an untold number of people experienced traumatic injuries. A local emergency room reported that they would receive anywhere between 5 and 10 people who experienced injuries at the park every day over the weekends. And it got so bad that the park paid to have some ambulances on call at the park ready to take people there on a moment's notice. So what was it that made the park so dangerous and possibly life-threatening to visit? A lot of things, but let's start off with some of the more ridiculous rides that you could experience. The first ride ever opened at the park was the Alpine Slide, a ridiculous winding chute made of the world's 3 safest materials to fall on while at fast speeds: concrete, fiberglass, and asbestos. You would ride down this thing in a sled with no harness tying you down and only a lever to control the 2 different speeds. Snail slow or suicide speed. Nobody wore helmets and a lot of people would ride in their bathing suits, a perfect recipe for a great time. Between just 1984 and 1985, this ride alone experienced 26 separate cases of head injuries and 14 cases of broken bones. The first fatality in the park happened on this ride as well, when an employee riding down a sled flew off the track at a sharp turn and hit his head on a rock, which killed him. Apparently, this would happen a lot, so the park just placed hay bales around these sharp turns to try and cushion people's falls in the future. But if you were looking to get hurt, Action Park offered up a much more varied experience to select from than just this. Perhaps the most insane ride that the park ever created was this slide with a friggin' loop inside of it. It looks pretty cool, but physics doesn't always agree with what looks cool. Here is an animation of how this ride would work. You'd go in at the top feet first, slide all the way down like normal until you reach the base of the loop. You'd then go up leg first at an awkward angle and get flipped upside down, where gravity would do one of a few things. You'd either hit and grind your face across the slide's bottom, which would give you at best a bloody nose. Then, when you fall back down the other side, you might smash your back against the slide wall and cause you some gnarly back pain. And then, you'd slide out at the end a bruised and bloodied idiot for riding something this ridiculous looking in the first place. The other thing that might happen to you is getting stuck at the top of the loop if the water pressure wasn't strong enough, which wouldn't be great for those of you who might feel a little claustrophobic. This apparently happened to so many people that the park installed a hatch at the top of the loop to rescue people who experienced it. Evidently, the slide was only open for a month in 1985 before an official advisory board ruled the ride to be unsafe and forced the park to close it down. Which is a shame, because who doesn't want to experience taking their enemies to a park claiming that it's all just for fun, when you really just plan on sending them down a death slide that you didn't tell them about beforehand? Surprisingly, nobody ever died on the loop, but there were plenty of other rides that I guess didn't seem as deadly at first. The deadliest of all of them was the Wave Pool, which eventually got the nickname of the Grave Pool. It was pretty deep and blasted high waves across it for 20 minutes at a time. Up to 1,000 people at a time were allowed inside of the pool, a good percentage of whom came from urban New York City and didn't really know how to swim very well. Over the park's existence, 3 people drowned inside of the pool despite there being 12 lifeguards on duty at all times. For reference, a typical lifeguard will save around one or two people over an entire regular season at a lake or a pool. At the Grave Pool, though, the lifeguards were rescuing up to 30 people over just a weekend sometimes. It was insane, but the madness didn't end there. Oh no, we're still just getting started. Another water ride at the park that claimed a life was the Kayak Experience, an imitation whitewater course that submerged electric fans below to agitate the water above. Inexperienced kayakers, who were many, would frequently tip their canoes over, and one such guy that this happened to stepped on a metal grate beneath the water that was connected to an exposed live wire, which electrocuted and killed him. Another incident happened at the so-called Tarzan Swing, where guests would swing out over a rope and jump into a pool below. The problem was, the water in the pool was generally kept glacier cold and would often shock people who landed. An older man who fell in was so shocked by the cold that it induced a heart attack and killed him. It didn't help that most of the employees who worked at the park and were responsible for ensuring ride safety were teenagers or worse, underage, as young as 15 or 14 in some cases. These children were operating the rides in several instances, and access to alcohol for minors was very rarely enforced, leading to situations where both underage employees and guests were simultaneously intoxicated. Most of the rides were poorly designed by people who didn't exactly have a very great grasp on physics or engineering, like the bumper boats ride where the boats frequently leaked gasoline onto their occupants, and where the cockpits were too small for tall people to fit inside of, so they would be forced to rest their legs outside on the sides of the boats, which was a less than ideal situation when a rival boat would bump into them and smash their leg, often causing fractures or broken bones. The park frequently violated New Jersey state law by failing to report accidents, and they even operated an entire year without insurance. Their insurance premiums became so high because of the huge number of incidents that the park decided that it would be more economical to just operate without it and settle their accidents that happened in court. But the lawsuits and accidents that gave the park its memorable nicknames like Traction Park and Class Action Park were beginning to mount in expense. Between 1983 and 1985, there were around 200 lawsuits filed against the park. More shocking than that, though, is the number of fines that the park received during this same period. Between the park's entire existence up until 1986, the park had been fined by the state government of New Jersey exactly once, for $300 for operating a ride without a permit. The lax New Jersey state regulations at the time certainly contributed to a lot of the danger at the park, but the lawsuits continued to cripple the park anyway. More and more rides were forced to be dismantled and closed in the 1990s as more and more of the lawsuits were settled, to the point where eventually in 1996, Action Park filed for bankruptcy and finally closed its doors. So if you ever go to a park in the future and you see a water slide like this, maybe take some Advil or just don't get on it in the first place. Similarly, if you see a Wi-Fi network in public that looks like this, you probably shouldn't connect to it unless you have protection like a VPN.
Dashlane Premium includes a new upgraded VPN that allows you to choose your server location and encrypts your online activity so that you can stay safe even while using an unsecured Wi-Fi network. But that's just one of several online security tools that they're premium offering has, which also includes dark web monitoring that automatically alerts you if a password or an account that you have somewhere has been compromised.
Dashlane will generate different, complex passwords for you for different websites, autofills them so you don't have to remember them all, and only requires you to remember one super secure password. You can get started using Dashlane for your password management for free at dashlane.com/RLL, and then the first 200 people to use the code RLL will get 10% off when you upgrade to premium to access all of the features mentioned. Thank you for watching, stay safe, and I'll see you next week.